Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here. We're not exactly here, but here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Hi. Where are you?
I can't tell you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. It's a secret location that...
location of mission.
We need to keep secrets so Steve won't be threatened by wild pagans surrounding him there.
Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
No. I haven't seen a wild pagan
for a long
time. But
I've got the power of the Word of God on my side.
Amen.
I'm okay.
And you got the sword of the Spirit from Ephesians 6.
Ooh, the sword of the Spirit,
Ooh.
Yeah.
We should do a radio show on that.
We should. It might be opportunistic time coming up since it's going to be Pentecost.
Break. Oh, is that ever fun?
Oh.
Well, that was a good lead-in.
That was not planned either.
Yeah. What, you mean after our rehearsal and everything?
Yeah, after our rehearsal.
Wow.
We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we did quite a few shows now about the resurrection and its, you know, aftermath, which is good, and now we're getting to the time of Pentecost, which is 2 weeks from today, and that's an exciting time.
Yeah,
and it's it was really exciting for those people in the upper room, and it should be really exciting for us too.
It should be.
Yeah, because you know, every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we shouldn't ignore the Holy Spirit and the work that he wants to do through us.
Right.
And so this is a pretty exciting time. And I forgot to mention, because, you know, we always have to throw in some Old Testament teaching. But we have to keep in mind that we use the term Pentecost, which means comes from the Greek for 50 days.
Right.
It is actually one of the seven great feasts of the Lord, and in Hebrew it's Shavuot, that means the Feast of Weeks.
Right.
Because in the Torah, specifically in Leviticus 23, and then mentioned in the rest of the books as well, but God tells Moses when he's laying out the feast that, from the first Sabbath after Passover, you count 49 days, and the following day is Pentecost. So because he says you count out 7 weeks, it's called the Feast of Weeks. And between roughly Passover and Pentecost is called counting the Omer, because you actually had to count each of the days.
Right.
We don't do that because, you know, you've got 8 calendars hanging in your house, and you got 4 or 5 calendars in your office, and you got a calendar on your phone, and you got a calendar in your computer. And I mean, nobody, you always know what day it is.
Yeah, you can set your alarm on your phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you know, in those days where there were no clocks, no calendars, they had to keep a count of how many days had gone by to make sure that they didn't get messed up on getting to the 50th day.
Yeah, you couldn't just, you know, they didn't have calendars hanging in their houses at that time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's true. You had to
count
so that you knew what day it was.
Yeah. And we'll talk about Shavuot / Pentecost a little more in 2 weeks, but this is the time of counting the Omer. I know I haven't been counting, so I just look at my calendar and say, 2 weeks it'll be Pentecost.
Oh, man.
But of course, our friends.
You're disappointing me.
Yeah.
Oh, here I've been counting the Omer every day.
Oh, that's great.
Finding out that you're not doing it.
Ah, oh, nah.
No, I'm not.
I'm not into all that law stuff.
Oh. Well, it is an exciting time, as you were saying that. It's an exciting time because, it all lines up with, everything lines up with the feast, the Old Testament feast.
Yep.
You know, as we said a couple weeks ago about the Feast of First Fruits, how Jesus is the first fruits of those risen from the dead. He rises on the first day of the week, you know, the Sunday after the Passover.
Yes.
And so not only is the Feast of Pentecost, you know, as you were saying, you know, in the New Testament, in churches today, we just think of the Feast of Pentecost as the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, but it really has a direct correlation to that Feast of the Harvest.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so it's really amazing how none of this is by chance. It's all God's design that the feast days would fall precisely on when Christ rose from the dead, when the Holy Spirit was sent, when the believers were brought in, the first believers were brought into the church. So it's an exciting time. And then you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're going to be poured out, which is going to enable the disciples to go out and proclaim the truth of the gospel with courage and without fear.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It's a very exciting time.
Yes. And we, in John's gospel, which happens to be my favorite gospel, in John's gospel, we're going to have Stephen read in a second from a passage in John chapter 14, if you want to flip to it while I'm making some other comment here. But, you know, in John's gospel, I can't remember the chapter, it might be 16 or it might be 15, Jesus says, "You believe in Moses, but Moses talked about me." So as you're saying, the point that you're making, Steve, is the fact that all those things prefigured Messiah, and all those things were the types and shadows of the substance that was to come. And so if Jesus would have said to somebody, "Moses talked about me," your natural inclination as a person standing there would be, "Well, wait a minute. Moses didn't know anything about, how could Moses talk about you? Moses didn't know anything about you."
Right.
You know, and then just like he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Well, wait a minute. How could you possibly know Abraham? But the point he's making is that the books of Moses pointed to him. The promises made to Abraham pointed to him. And so he says, "When Abraham saw my day, he rejoiced in it."
Yeah.
And the Greek actually means he leapt for joy, or leaped for joy. I like leaped better than leapt. But anyway, leaped for, was one of those like in the King James version? I don't know.
Yeah.
But nobody says leapt anymore. But anyway,
I'm using my scroll today, so
I don't
have any chapters and numbers, so I'm going to have to try.
Oh, no. Do you have a Greek scroll or a Hebrew scroll or both?
I'm using my scroll.
Okay. But, when we get to, and we all know, and, so many times, and if you're listening to this show, I'm sure this is like preaching to the choir, but we all know that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're emboldened and empowered to do ministry. But the other thing that Jesus had to get across to these guys was that the Spirit was going to remind them of everything he had said. Because, if I have a conversation with Steve today that lasts, an hour, and then 10 years from now, somebody says, "Hey, what was Steve talking about that day that you guys talked?" I'd be like, "Oh, beats me. I don't remember that." or you might have some memory of some topic you talked about.
Right.
But you would never remember something even generally word by word. But Jesus says when the Spirit comes, he's going to remind you of everything I said. So that even 20 years from now, when you guys are sitting there writing letters and writing gospels, you're going to remember everything I said.
Right.
And they, of course, didn't have any idea what this was, and there was no way they could know. But even before the crucifixion, he talks about the Spirit coming, another paraclete coming, because he wants to sort of get these guys, sort of prepped for this, kind of ready for this. And, it's kind of important. And
yeah, I mean, over the course of 3 years that he's been walking with his disciples and they've been learning from him, he has been prepping them really for this very day.
Mm-hmm.
He's been prepping them for this whole transformation that's going to take place from his, not only from his entry into Jerusalem, but the Last Supper that he ate with them, the Passover Seder that he ate with them for the last time, his crucifixion and then resurrection. You know, all of this was going to happen, yet they didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And even though, and we talk about this a lot on the show, but even though he talked about it, even though Jesus talked about all of this with his disciples beforehand to prepare them for what was about to happen, they didn't understand for the most part, and they didn't comprehend what was going to take place until after everything happened.
Yeah.
And after the Holy Spirit comes.
Exactly.
So as you're saying, this passage from John that we're going to read from is obviously, before the Last Supper, but it's prepping them as preparation that for them to remember what he told them after it happens.
Yeah. And just looking, if you have it in front of you, you see this chapter starts out with him saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
So you'll know the way. And Thomas says, well, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way?
Thomas again?
Well, this was before the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was before what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. But yeah. It's interesting, like Thomas pipes right up and says, well, how can we know where you're going? How do we, 3 years they've been walking around together.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
And by this time, everybody's going, what? So then Philip, not me, the other one, so he pipes up next and says, well, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be good enough for us.
Yeah, and Jesus tells him, I've been with you for so long and a time, and you still don't know me?
Yeah.
He's telling them, whoever sees me sees the Father. So
yeah.
How can you say, show us the Father? So this has to leave the apostles a bit confused.
Yeah. Sure.
Uncertain about what do you mean if you see me, you see the Father? Where are you going? We don't know. Help us understand this.
Yeah.
So even at this time, they've walked with him for 3 years, and they don't understand. And it's not that they should understand. If any one of us was there, we would be in the same situation because we wouldn't even understand it either.
Yeah. And he has said in other places, the Father and I are one.
Mm-hmm.
And here, Philip, who's known him for 3 years, like you say, Jesus is basically saying to him, you know me, but you don't really understand who I really am.
Right.
You don't really understand the full depth of this because I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. This is what you have to understand. Well, before we criticize Philip, we have to understand that if somebody said that to us, you wouldn't say, oh, I get it.
Well, as you say that, if you think about this in the context of what Jesus was talking about, he's going back to the Father. He's going back to the glory that he had at the foundation of the world when everything was created.
Yeah. Exactly.
How could a mere human being, a mere mortal, understand that when they've never seen it, they've never encountered it, and they've never experienced it?
Mm-hmm.
It would be incomprehensible to think that anybody could actually understand that without even being told what it would have been like and what it was like.
Yeah.
You know?
And then he lays on him something else. I mean, this isn't the teaching we're talking about. We're going off on a tangent here.
Yeah.
This isn't what the program's about, but
we're good.
It's already almost the first session over. But anyway, but then Jesus really lays something else on them because he says, you guys are going to do greater works than I did because I'm going to the Father.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to do greater works than he did. He healed people.
Raised Lazarus
from the dead, made bread and fish out of, some bread and some sardines or whatever they had, walked on the water, have, you know, all the things that they had seen.
Yeah.
But he says, because I go to the Father, you're going to do greater works than these. Now, how could they possibly understand that or have any kind of inkling of what he was talking about?
Right.
But then when we actually get to the reading we want to talk about, we're going to kind of see how that's going to come about, how that's going to sort of come together with this concept of the Spirit coming to empower them to do these things.
Yeah. And, you know, we are getting into the passage that we were talking about in preparation for this, but I think it's important that we are going over this because this is all leading up to what he's going to tell them. And where he says in chapter 14, verse 12, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these because I am going to the Father. Mm-hmm. And whatever you ask in my name, in the name of Jesus, I will do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So there's, you know, we need to believe and we need to ask in his name.
Yeah. And the point to another point he's making here is that when he goes to the Father, you know, he's going to be sacrificed. He's going to rise from the dead. He's going to ascend to the Father. He's going to go back to the glory that he had before, as you pointed out earlier. And because he's glorified and goes back to the Father, then the Father's going to be glorified in the Son. And then you're going to do greater works than I did. Because then the Spirit is going to come. Mm-hmm. The Spirit is not going to come in full measure while Jesus is still in this earthly form of Jesus of Nazareth walking around with these guys. The Spirit's going to be poured out in full measure when he's glorified and back to the right hand of the Father. So he's going to now, and we're going to start reading in verse 15 if the show's not over already, but we're going to start reading it. Verse 15. So why don't you go ahead and read the passage, Steve?
Okay.
Like 15 through 20 or 21. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows it, but you know it, because it remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, Master, what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me.
Hmm. Yeah, let's hold off there, and then we'll get to the verse that comes after that, because that's pretty cool, too. But, it's the first break. Well, we got that in just in time.
Yeah.
Remember, check out givetograceministries.org. We'll be right back.
They see the house of the Lord. Run to this peaceful kingdom. Shouting, they lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Wash us with the Spirit of burning, let your beautiful fruit shine forth. Everyone who's left inside will be called holy forevermore. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the Lord. shepherds so mightily, send your glory all across the land. Then everything is proud and lofty will bow down before the Son of Man. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Over all the glory, there will be a covering. Cloud and smoke all through the day, flame and fire all through the night. Tabernacle for the shade, shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, feel the blood rise as a fire.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So, in this passage, it's kind of interesting. You know, it says, if you love me, if you keep my commandments, then the Father will send another. Some translations say helper, some translations say paraclete, some translations say advocate.
Right.
The Greek word is parakletos, which means somebody who stands beside you. The word advocate comes from the Latin term for somebody who's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So it's the concept is you're in a court of law and you have a lawyer standing beside you who defends you. And interestingly too, Jesus says, the Father's going to send another paraclete, another helper, another advocate, which means if there's another, there had to have been a first one, who, of course, was him. You know, the Son is sent and the Spirit is sent. Jesus is an advocate and a paraclete and a helper as well.
Right.
The Father is never sent. So that's
true.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. But another helper, the other paraclete, is going to abide with you forever. In other words, he says, you know, I'm leaving now and you're not going to physically see me, but the Spirit is going to abide with you forever. And he calls him the Spirit of Truth.
Yeah.
The Spirit of Truth with a capital T. And then he adds, you know, the world can't even deal with this. The world can't even receive this because it doesn't see him and it doesn't know him. But you know him.
Yeah.
Now these guys, how in the world are they going to know him?
You know,
They didn't even get what he was talking about, that he was going somewhere.
Yeah. But, you know, if you think about what you just said, how could they even begin to understand that?
Yeah.
You know, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot accept, but because it neither sees nor knows him, but you know him, because mm-hmm. he remains with you and will be in you. And then he tells him, you know, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will come to you. But did they at that time really understand who the Holy Spirit was, who the Advocate was that he was talking about?
Yeah, no.
Because, and he's telling them, because you know him,
yeah.
because he remains with you.
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
I mean, again, you know, the only time the Spirit really fell was in the camp with Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all right? Well, there was, I mean, the Holy Spirit was with the prophets, but
right.
From time to time. But an outpouring was
right.
when, you know, Moses had the 72.
Yes.
Eldad and Medad were late for the meeting.
Right, right.
And the Holy Spirit still fell on them, but they right. prophesied once, and then that was it.
And that was it. Exactly.
So that really is their, probably to the extent, outside of the prophets, their experience with the Holy Spirit, you know, the Ruach Kodesh. And but to say that he's going to be with you always.
Yeah, and he's going to dwell with you and be in you.
Yeah.
He doesn't just say he's going to be like hanging around with you guys. He's going to be
right.
in you.
Right.
So you're not going to be left as orphans.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is, I mean, here you have the whole Trinitarian power going on. You have,
yeah.
you know, you have the Son who's going to go to the Father. He's going to have the Father send another Paraclete. The Paraclete's going to come. And even though people around you aren't going to know who he is or what he's doing, and, you know, Paul talks about this later, but I don't want to get into that now, but says you're going to know him. He's going to live with you. He's going to be in you, and you're not going to be an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, I'll come back to you. I'll come to you.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be abandoned by the Godhead, and by extension, of course, this applies to us as well.
Right.
The world doesn't know the Spirit, so can't receive him.
Right.
We know him because we're believers in Jesus, Yeshua, the Son, the Messiah, and so therefore, the Spirit comes on us and dwells with us and literally stands with us, which is what Paraclete means.
Right.
And since Jesus is also a Paraclete, he stands before us as our lawyer. So when God, in the sense of God the Father, says, you know, that guy has been a terrible sinner all his life, and look how many sins he's committed, the Son says, yes, but I died for him, my blood covers his sin, he's repented of his sin, and he's received the Holy Spirit, and therefore he's justified, and the Father says, okay, then you can come in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Trinitarian plan of salvation. We're not going to be left as orphans.
Right.
But we can only do this through the Son. We can't do it through anybody else.
Right. The power is in the name of Jesus. The
yes.
authority is in the name of Jesus, because he's the one who died on the cross. He's the one that rose from the dead. He's the one who was obedient to the Father.
Yes.
To restore all of creation back to the Father. So it's only in him and through him, through Jesus, that this is done in his name,
yes.
by his power.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oof, that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's really awesome.
Yeah. So here's these guys that are sitting there looking stupid.
So, you know, as Jesus is telling them this, you know, he says, I'll not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And, you know, he's offering them, he's actually offering them comfort. He's
yes.
trying to comfort them and console them. Because he knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Right.
And he knows they're going to be scattered. He knows they're going to be in disbelief. He knows all this is going to happen. I mean, think about it. Anytime there's a loss of a relationship, there's grief.
Yes.
And if the relationship ends really badly, in a very, you know, in the manner that it's going to end here, where Jesus is crucified, you know, that's very, emotionally, that's very disturbing. So he's offering them comfort. And, you know, in addition, he says, in a little while, the world will no longer see me, mm-hmm. but you will see me because I live and you will live.
Yes.
So he's already, he's telling them that he's going to rise from the dead and that they are going to see him. But obviously they don't understand to what Jesus is telling them.
Yeah. That the world, in a little while, the world's not going to see me anymore, but you're going to see me.
Yeah.
And because I live, you're also going to live. And you're going to realize that I am in the Father and you and me and I and you. So in other words, we're going to be taken into this intimate relationship with the whole Godhead.
Yeah.
We have the Spirit living within us. We see Jesus in faith because even though the world doesn't see him, we know him and we see him. Mm-hmm. And we're going to understand that he's in the Father. We're in him. He's in the Father. He's in us. The Spirit's in us. And the whole Godhead is manifested to us.
Right.
As believers.
Yeah, and you know, as Jesus is saying, this what's going to take place is, if you think about being baptized, you're immersed into water. Some churches are immersed into water,
mm-hmm.
dunked.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happens if you put a sponge in water and you immerse that sponge underwater? What happens to that sponge?
Uh-huh.
It soaks up all this water.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really the image we should have of when we're baptized into Christ, when we're baptized into the Holy Spirit, or when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that we're immersed into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit simply explained is that it's the love that exists between the Father and the Son. It's that crossfire of love that exists between the Father and the Son. So you have this immense love that the Father has for the Son and the Son has for the Father, and you're immersed into that.
Yeah.
You're saturated with this tremendous love that surpasses our understanding.
Yes.
You know, as Paul talks about.
Go ahead.
And you're immersed into that, and so when you come out of that, what do you have? You're immersed into love, so what should come out of you is that love of the love of the Father, the love of the Son, to go out and make disciples of all nations.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo, that's awesome. And I was going to say, we get our signals mixed because I can't see Steve and he can't see me.
All this technology, we still can't see each other.
Because he's, I know, we really should do this by Skype, but anyway. But what a far cry this is. As you were saying that, I was thinking, what a far cry this is from the rigidity and seriousness there was of the law, where your righteousness was measured by how well you did with the law, and that you then became subject to the law, and following the law is what became important. And again, not that the law is bad, but, you know, Paul says we were in bondage to the law. Here we have a relationship with the three persons of the Godhead in such a powerful way and in such an intimate way that this couldn't have been conceived of by Moses and Aaron.
Yeah.
They had to have the veil in front of the holy things because the sinners weren't allowed to look at the holy thing. And they had to be cleansed before they went to look at the holy thing themselves.
Right.
And now here we are. We not only have a relation, not only is the veil gone, but now we have this relationship with God because of the Trinitarian action of his plan of salvation. This is really good news.
Yeah.
This is awesome news.
Extremely good news.
Woo! Yeah, that's why gospel means good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if Jesus would have said, you know, we'll do the Father and the Spirit and I, you know, we'll do all these things, but first we're going to check how well you're doing with all those laws back there, then that wouldn't be very good news.
No, that wouldn't be. No. Yeah. No. Well, I mean, and think about this. He says that my Father and I will come to you and whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him.
Yeah.
And we will come to him and make our dwelling with him.
Yes.
So just as, I mean, think about this. Just as God dwelt with Adam and Eve in the garden, that's what God desires, that he can once again, you know, dwell with us like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Have that kinship, that closeness, that relationship. I mean, that's what God desires, and now it's possible because of the sacrifice that Jesus is going to make that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell in us, that we can do the works of the Father through the Son.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's all wrapped up in the entire, I hate the word persons, personality of the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells him, actually, we didn't read verse 25, did we?
No, not yet.
Yeah. Why don't you read 25? Yeah, why don't you read 25 and 26?
Okay. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you.
Hmm. See, so he says, I'm telling you these things while I'm sitting here with you. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sitting on a park bench or sitting on a little hill or sitting on a little wall somewhere talking, sitting under a tree talking. So he says, I'm telling you these things and I'm physically here. You can see me and I can see you and we're just sitting here talking and, you know, maybe they were eating, maybe they were drinking coffee. Oh no, they didn't have coffee yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, they might have just been sitting around eating lunch while he said these things, you know, but he says, while I'm physically here, I'm telling you these things. But when the Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, whom the Father's going to send in my name, and again, we have this concept of the Trinity acting, you know, all three persons acting. So when the Spirit comes, he's going to teach you all things and remind you of all the things I said to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're hearing them from me now, but let me tell you, a couple of weeks from now, a couple of months from now, you're not going to remember what I said.
Yeah. I mean, think about how many times that you're in a situation and you're praying about something and then you remember something that's in the gospel. Or what was really amazing to me was when Sandy and I first came back to our, you know, to the Lord, we would in prayer receive things that later we found were in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you know, that's just amazing. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He reminds you of all truth. He leads you, you know, he leads us in all truth, and it reminds us of all that Jesus taught, because Jesus is the spoken word made flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in my own life, I've had that encounter and that experience, and know it to be true because of what transpired during prayer and what when we actually got to the book of Isaiah and we read through some things, we're like, oh my gosh, that's there. That's,
yeah.
That's in Isaiah. It's in chapter 55. It's in chapter 56. You know,
mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah,
and the Holy Spirit continues to do that today.
Yeah, amen. It's a break.
It is.
Ooh. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory fall. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So we're in the last segment. So why don't you read from there to the end of the chapter, and we can finish up with a few comments about this.
From 25 or 27?
From 27 to the end.
Okay. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away, and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice. Or if you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father and that I do just as the Father has commanded me. Get up, let us go.
Hmm.
So this is right before he goes to the...
Oh, yeah. But interestingly, he's giving these guys this whole talk. And again, we have to point out they couldn't possibly have understood what he was talking about. But he, right. Because he's in them and they're in him and the Spirit's coming and he's going to the Father and he and the Father are going to come and be with us and the Spirit's going to dwell in us. He says, you're going to have peace. My peace I give you. You can't have peace like that from the world. This is not peace where there's an absence of conflict and nobody's arguing and nobody's fighting. This is a very profound peace. This is a true shalom. It's all encompassing. The world can't really give that to you.
Yeah.
But when you get this, your heart's not going to be troubled and you're not going to be afraid.
Yeah. You know, if you just take a quick glimpse at our world today, you're not going to find much peace in it.
Yeah.
If anything.
Yeah.
If any peace at all.
Even within a church, you don't find much peace.
No. There's a lot of strife. There's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of, you know, people are anxious. People are upset. People are, you know, they're consumed with, you know, the high speed of our technology that moves information faster than we can absorb it and digest it. And what Jesus is talking about here is this deep abiding peace that surpasses our understanding and fills us, as you said, with that shalom, that deep abiding peace that even though there's strife or there's turmoil, my heart's at peace because I'm trusting in God.
Yes.
And I know that God's my defender, God's my advocate, God's my protector, and God's my provider.
Hmm. Well put. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. And, you know, he points out at the end there, basically, that what we've been saying, that all these things taken together, you're going to know that I love the Father loves me, I'm in the Father's in me. He's sending another comforter, he's sending another advocate, another paraclete. Now, the ruler of the world is coming. You know, Satan is the ruler of the world. He's coming. But he says, don't worry about that. He's got nothing on me.
Right.
And because of all these things we just mentioned above, he's going to have nothing on you. So don't worry about him.
Well, Jesus tells them also, I forget where it's at, but, you know, don't worry about the one who can, you know, put to death the flesh.
Yeah.
Worry about the one who can put to death the spirit.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
That's really what's important.
Exactly.
The spiritual death is far, you know, if you suffer a spiritual death, you're not going to live with Christ. You don't want to suffer spiritual death. Everybody's going to experience physical death unless, you know, we're alive when Jesus returns.
Yeah.
But the promise is not to suffer spiritual death.
And you know, there's, as he's talking to them, you have this concept too that, like I say, they're sitting and he's teaching, or they're walking and he's teaching, and he's the teacher with a capital T at physically present, but now another teacher with a capital T is going to come, and the Spirit, and Spirit's going to be sent in his name by the Father. So the Son testifies of the Father, the Spirit testifies of the Son, the Son brings people back to the Father. And I think if the main takeaway that you should get out of this, I think, is the fact that the plan of salvation is Trinitarian, of course, because God is Trinitarian, and that he presents this to us in a way that really should make us strong and really should not make us afraid, because the ruler of the world has nothing on us.
Right.
Woo.
Right. Amen.
Woo. That's pretty awesome.
It is. That's the good news.
Yeah. So you're still counting the Omer over there?
I am.
I forgot.
Don't forget the Omer.
But boy, we're coming right up on Pentecost, and, you know, these things that he's mentioning with the other paraclete coming, we're going to talk about next week and the following weekend, which is Pentecost. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I mean, like we were saying, we could go on through the whole rest of the year talking about what happened when the Spirit fell on the people in the upper room, because basically we could do the whole book of Acts.
Yeah, we could.
Woo! And even if we did one show per chapter, we would be good till the end of the year, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a very exciting time. Woo!
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and the book of Acts, you know, it records everything that took place right as the Holy Spirit fell and as they, you know, the first Christian communities, if you will, were being formed. As believers were coming together, they were, you know, having a meal together, they were breaking the bread in their homes, and they worshiped. They were worshiping God in spirit and in the truth, just like Jesus told the woman at the well.
Yeah.
You're no longer, you know, you're not gonna worship at that mountain. And, you know, God's looking for those who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth.
Exactly.
Well, that's, not going to do that anymore.
Well, that's a good point to close this show, because it really just follows from all this that we just said.
Yeah.
And the contrast with the worship in the temple and in the tent, I mean, this is so much different.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, I'm excited. Well, I hope you've all had an awesome Lord's Day.
Amen. And we just pray that as we approach this great feast of Pentecost, that you would implore God to open your heart to receive the grace of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be one with him in the Father and the Son, and to encounter and experience the love and the peace that only Jesus can offer. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Isaac and Abraham, an altar without a lamb, a covenant made, a hand raised in faith that God himself.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.